Hello, High Rock. Welcome to our daily devotional. We are in our second day of our new series. We are following the sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit. And this whole week, we'll be talking about the first fruit, which is love, agape kind of love, God's kind of love. In many ways, like we talked about yesterday, you can think of this as perhaps the only fruit of the Spirit, and everything else is being an outflow of this godly kind of love that comes to us through the Spirit. So we're going to continue the passage we were reading yesterday about the supremacy of love from 1 Corinthians 13, and we are going to be in verses 4 through 13 today of chapter 13. And Kim, Pastor Kim, if you would read that for us, that would be fantastic.
Happy to. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love.
Be to God.
Amen.
Well, as we talked about yesterday, love, is the supreme reality. It is the thing by which all things are measured, because for one very specific reason, and that is because God's essential nature is love. It's not that God is loving. It's not that God simply shows love, like musters it up, but rather this is the core of God's own being, Father, Son, and Spirit, in this eternal dance of mutual service and love. And we are invited to participate in this kind of love as we experience God's agape love for us. You know, we love because God first loved us. We are then in turn able to give what we have received. We can't give what we haven't received. And so we're enabled through the Spirit to give this love that we receive. God's love is so different than the love that we are naturally inclined to give one another, the love that we've received as children from others. It's so different that we have to be instructed in many ways, like children. Like Paul says, you know, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. We have to learn these basic forms of what love actually is. So many people read 1 Corinthians 13. They read this passage as a wedding passage. They read it during a wedding ceremony. And in some ways, I think it's inappropriate in that it's not really about weddings. But in some ways, I think it is very highly appropriate, because people are these, you know, this couple is embarking on a lifelong journey of something that they really don't know anything about. They really don't know what they're in for, and they really don't understand the things that they are going to have to learn about love. You know, it's patient and kind. It's not jealous. It's not boastful. It's not proud or rude. And I have to say, you know, just with that introduction right there, that's not what I knew of love growing up. I don't think that's what I knew of love even in romantic relationships before I became a believer. That it never gives up, that it never loses faith, always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. These are some incredible, lofty things that love is calling us, that God's love is calling us into. You know, so first of all, to realize and receive that this is the way that God loves us, to realize that that is what Jesus demonstrates to us in his life and on the cross, and what the Spirit shares with us as the Spirit takes residence in us now. Kim, I'm wondering what you experience with a passage like this and about lessons of love, because I know that you didn't come into this world fully formed as a believer. You had a journey just
really?
Like I did. So what do you see in this passage, and what have you learned about God's love?
Yeah, I think as I was reflecting again this morning, I was reading it another time this morning and struck again on the patience and the never ending, and the just this idea that it's so perfect. It's sacrificial, as you talked about earlier. And so, you know, reflecting on my own experience of love, I grew up in a home where, in an attempt to be loving, my dad and stepmom, you know, tried, I'm sure, the best that they knew how based on their experience and all. But what came across to me, what I understood love to be, was it was very conditional and it was based on performance and based on, you know, what I could do and, you know, if I could be good or perfect. And so that was kind of my standard. If I thought I could be kind of a nice person, if I did things well, then love would happen. And it kind of was reinforced over and over again. And so that's how I chose to love as well, you know, initially, is if you did things well in my eyes of what I expected you to do, then therefore I can love you. And if not, then I was very disappointed. And I think there's this feeling in me that God is like that. God is constantly disappointed if I am not perfect. And that has morphed over time as God has loved me in spite of my failures. And there's, you know, I'm older now and have 4 grown children, actually. And so this process of being married almost 33 years in about a month and having 4 children, I have been humbled over and over again and been shown this kind of agape love in my own life. And so even recently, I was reflecting, in the last couple of years, I've hit a real roadblock with one of my kids, and just our relationship just got really hard. And I just started asking, like, God, why did I become a parent? This is just too hard, you know? And I don't know how to love this child. I don't feel loved by this child. And God really just reminded me, I just felt tangibly this question of why did you become a parent? Was it to create a fan base so that you could be admired? Or was it for their sake? Was it to delight in who they are? Was it to encourage them and watch them grow? And are you in it for the long haul? And I was really just challenged by that. And so I began seeing this relationship, not only with this child, but with others, as differently. Like, why do I love people? You know, what does it mean that God loves me? Why did God create me? God created me out of delight, out of, you know, for my sake. And so that idea of this hoping for the future, that God, even when I disappoint or when I don't get it all right, or when I totally ignore God, God loves me continually with the hope that the relationship will be restored and full and free. And so then I am now encouraged, challenged to love others like that. Whether or not you meet my expectations today, not saying my expectations are good or right, but whether or not you are who I think you should be, or if you love me well today, my love is for your sake. And so that has kind of transformed how I see everybody, not only just my children, but, you know, people on the street, neighbors, people that I don't necessarily agree with, that I'm uncomfortable with. You know, it just extends everywhere, because that's how God loves. And so that example to me changes everything. And it changes everything because I have first been loved like that. I can't love as God loves without the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't even view other people as God views us without knowing first God's love for me. So that has been a growing, even recently, you know, my whole life, but also recently growing in that kind of love. How about you, John? Personal experience?
I'd say amen to all of that. I've gone through all of those same lessons. Yeah. I have one final thing I want to like throw your way and see what you think about this, because as I've gone through this passage many times, like you, more recently I've been struck by verse 12, and for me it's verse 12 that kind of sums up what God's love is. And I'll just read it for everybody here. It says, "All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely." What I see in this is, you know, back in the Old Testament, you know, it said like Abraham knew Sarah, like yada, like that to know. And to know can mean like to know something or know someone, but it has that deeper meaning of intimacy, such that it could even stand in the place of the physical intimacy between husband and wife, like Abraham and Sarah and many others in the Bible. And I see that here is this idea that God knows us fully and still loves us, right? It's an aspect of God loving us. I had a friend one time, he said to me, if you knew me, you wouldn't like me. Like that was his perspective in life, that if I really knew who he was, like he had to put on this front, because if I knew who he was, I wouldn't be his friend anymore. That's how he felt. And I never really got the chance to test that out. And here we see a very different picture where God knows us fully and demonstrates like we have this fullness of love because he still loves us. And the flip side of that is that, like you and I have been talking about, we're getting to know God better. We're getting to know God's love better. We're failing forward in so many ways, getting it wrong. But as we get to know God better, we are able to more fully love the way God loves. And so the promise here is that one day we will know God completely, just as we are fully known. And so there's this homecoming, in a sense, of being fully loved, to know and be known. Now, I guess that's one of the things that really appeals to me, beyond all the patient and kind and not rude. Like those are all really important and essential, obviously. But this ultimate picture of being known and knowing, that really strikes me now. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, immediately I come to my favorite verse. And if I've done a devotion before and quoted this, I'm so sorry, but it's still my favorite verse. It kind of showed up in my heart back when I was a teenager and really struggling. It was Psalm 103, 13 and 14. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows their frame. He knows that they are dust. And for me, that was so transformative to know that my Father God has such compassion on me, because God already knows that I'm dusty. I call myself dusty. I don't do things right all the time. I fail in so many ways. I'm inadequate in so many ways. I'm still growing and maturing and developing, asking forgiveness all the time. And yet, God, knowing that, still loves and has compassion on me. There's this, you know, in God's eyes, I see this look of, oh, honey, you know, it's okay. You know, I know you and I know you're trying. And I know that there's so many things in this world that trip you up. There's your own sin nature. There's, you know, what other people have done to you. And so that has always struck me, that I am already fully known, therefore, and loved, even in the state I am. And then someday when, you know, as this passage says, someday I will get to know God fully, because I will not have to deal with this fuzzy sin problem that gets in the way, this barrier between God and I. And so the relationship will be fully experienced. This intimacy with God will be fully there. And so I won't be dusty anymore. I will be complete. And therefore, you know, this promise that God loves me already will be fully experienced someday. So that just is what I think of, dusty now, but fully formed later.
Well, that's lovely. And I wonder if you'd be willing to close us in prayer, make that prayer a prayer for all of us.
Yes. Let us pray together. Lord God, you are a God who sees each one of us where we are, in the midst of our dustiness. And Lord, I just pray that everyone experiencing you this morning would come to a new level of trust, that your love is complete. There's nothing else we have to do. There's no more, you know, leveling up in order to reach that love that is here and now. So Lord, may we experience it today. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen.
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 Well, everyone, thank you for joining us. Pastor Kim, thank you for being with us today. And I hope that you're all able to go and have a deeper experience and knowledge of God's love today. Go in peace.
Thanks be to God.